Welcome to the Outreach Mass. O my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. For those who are unable to receive Holy Communion today in person, let us pray a spiritual communion prayer and ask for the graces of the most holy and blessed sacrament. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
Love that gospel. We got to jump to the first reading first. There's a lot of great things. The wisdom literature book. Wisdom literature means we need to take time to let it sink in. There's a lot of great stuff, but it's not something you can just get from the surface. You have to let it sink into your bones before it goes, oh, yeah, like a good sauna. Okay, guess you don't do the sauna thing. That's fine. I really don't either, but once or twice. Here we go. Wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight. Point one. Point two, the vengeful will suffer the Lord's vengeance, for he remembers their sins in detail. Let's go after the second one first. He remembers their sins in detail. Wait a second. We get told all the time, God forgets our sins. What? We repent, we say we're sorry, he forgets. He remembers their sins in detail. Wait a second. Same God? Yes, absolutely the same God. Why is he remembering their sins and forgetting everybody else's? Well, it's pretty simple. The vengeful. They have no desire to forgive. All they want is their own justice. And they're going to find it. They're going to make it happen. Their own justice. You slighted me, I'm going to get you back. My justice. It's about me. It's all about me. Now, a Christian should not ever be able to say that. It's all about me. For Christians, it's all about God. Specifically, the Father's will, Father's desire for us that we now get to live out and share in. It's about the Father. What's the Father want to do? It's not about me. So Jesus on the cross gave that great witness. Not about me. Father, your will be done. Your will be done. I want your will. I want your will. Your will be done. The vengeful. Now, this is an important reading for two sets of purposes. Because we hear a lot about forgiveness today. Forgiveness has two great prongs to it. There's what it frees me to do, and there's what it allows me to share in. There's a freedom forgiveness is granted to me, and then there's what forgiveness allows me to share in, and that is actually divine life. So we go to the first one here in our first reading. Wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight. He grabs a hold of these things, my wounds, and he hugs them tight because, in this context, the sinner, someone who's not yet justified by who? Christ Jesus. They're trying to justify themselves, right? So we think about it. When we've been wronged and we have not yet forgiven, that wound is living in our hearts. Or maybe we've forgiven on the surface, but not the deep forgiveness. We've forgiven on the surface. Okay, yeah, I'm not going to actively do vengeance, but we're still turning it over in our hearts. Now, how can I tell if I've actually forgiven somebody, really? Not just surface, but deep. It's very simple. How often do you think about that wound? And how often do you talk about it? If it's more than once a year, you probably haven't. You probably haven't. And if you even talk about it at all, because some wounds, once they're gone, they're gone. They've been really transformed. I've let them go. But if I'm talking about it, if I'm still thinking about it, the wound is still there, and it needs to be let go. Now, we know it's not simple. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need the Eucharist, to soak us in God's grace, to soak us in the love of God so we can be presented to the Father. That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit to transform and make us whole. What are the wounds I'm still talking about? What are the wounds I'm still thinking about? Now, if you're a sci-fi nerd, the first episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Yep, we're reaching back. Captain Sisko. His wife was killed in the Borg War, and he holds Captain Picard responsible. And the aliens that are trying to talk with him, every time they talk with him, he goes back to this war. I'm about to cry. And he starts asking them, why do you keep bringing me back to this worst possible thing? And they tell him, why are you bringing us back here? Because this is where you're living. He goes, oh. And eventually he forgives and lets it go. Where am I living? The things that are coming to my heart, to my mind, those are the wounds that I may have thought I've forgiven, but not really. I've forgiven on the surface level, but on the depths of my heart. I need to let them go. I need to let them go. And it isn't about just, okay, take it away. God doesn't just take things away. He transforms things. That's why Jesus' glorified wounds are so important to us, that his wounds have been transformed by grace, specifically by the love of the Father, so that they're part of him, but no longer a hurting part of him. Jesus doesn't walk around after resurrection going, yeah, remember that day when you guys left me? Remember these things happened? No. He talks about mercy and forgiveness. Oh, Peter, Thomas, you need to see these? Go ahead. See it? There you go. Moving on? Because I've moved on. He transforms. That's what love of God does. It transforms. It doesn't erase. It transforms. Because everything we've ever done have been part of is part of us for eternity. But in Christ Jesus, it's transformed. And that's what we ask him to do with all these things that may be still hanging on. Jesus, transform that. Father, apply your love to that. Holy Spirit, sanctify that. It's all the same prayer. It's all the same prayer. And what does that prayer then do? It frees us to love. Because that's what we want to do. All the energy taken up with self-hate and anger and a little bit of vengeance and justifying, all the energy now gets to be spent on love. How to love myself, how to love my neighbor, and best of all, how to love God. And that is the beautiful grace that forgiveness allows us to do. Because forgiveness hardens the lack of forgiveness hardens the heart. Forgiveness opens it. It opens it. I do a practice prayer with most of the couples who I prepare for marriage. I teach them how to pray with each other. It's a form of intercessory prayer. It's really nice. I give them 4 minutes. Sometimes it takes less. But I step out. When I come back, I ask, how was it? And they're smiley, because it's been a good experience of prayer, consistently across the board. And then the first thing I say, try to do this when you're angry. And almost all of them laugh. They laugh because they know, oh, no, we can't do this kind of prayer when you're angry, because anger closes off the heart. And this kind of prayer needs an open heart. Lack of forgiveness closes off the heart. And we need to have a whole, free heart. So when we forgive, it frees us to really love. It frees us to really receive and be received. It frees us. It frees us. It frees us. Huh, that's nice. Now, so that's what forgiveness does for us. What's forgiveness allows us to share in then? God Himself. God Himself. And part of that forgiveness is knowing that I need to be forgiven. And that's where we get to our gospel. That first debtor, he didn't really realize he was in over his head. He didn't really realize that he couldn't pay back the debt. He's kind of like an addict in denial. He's been spending, and I'm fine. No, you're not fine. So when he gets forgiven his debt, he doesn't really receive it because he doesn't really know in how much trouble he is. He doesn't get it. It doesn't go internal. He doesn't know what his decisions and choices have done to ruin his life. He's still in denial. And so he gets forgiven, but it doesn't change him. It doesn't affect him because he doesn't know what he's received because he didn't know what he needed in the first place. And so out of anger and embarrassment, he goes out and treats somebody poorly. You owe me money. Give it to me. Too bad. I want it now. He can't give away because he never really received forgiveness in the first place. The Father offered it, but his heart was closed because he didn't know he needed it. All right, I'm going to tell you a little secret. When you come back to the church after 50 years or 30 years, and you come to the confessional and say, I have nothing to confess, that makes me sin. Do you know what we've done? I don't mind asking for help. I haven't done anything wrong in 30 years. Ever lie? No. And we go down a list. Eventually some things come forward. So here we go. Do I know what Jesus has really given me? Do I understand the gift of salvation? Not in a self-hate way, but in a way that I cannot complete on my own, that only He can complete. Do I know this great gift of salvation? And the heart of it is forgiveness. Forgiveness. And the heart of that is my pride. Because my pride prevents me from both receiving and seeing. And so on this altar every day, every week, the first thing I should offer is my pride. Lord, what is my pride preventing me from seeing and receiving? Seeing about who I am, about who you are, other people, and then receiving about who you are, who I am, and other people, and what you want us to become. Because the soft heart is needed for that. The hard heart can't know. The hard heart doesn't even know itself. It's in massive denial. And so when forgiveness and mercy come, they mostly just bounce off. They mostly slide away. But we as Christians are meant to be people with a soft heart, to be vulnerable to the mercy of God, to be vulnerable to ourselves, to be vulnerable to one another, vulnerable with good boundaries, but vulnerable, that we can see exactly, I have a debt I cannot pay. Have mercy. And Jesus says, I pay it. I speak for you. And we can simply receive it. And in that joy, we can give it away. When someone comes to us, I have a debt to you I cannot pay. Receive my mercy. Receive my forgiveness. And our hearts share in that life. Not just life here, but life here. Forgiveness is critical. A soft heart is critical. Knowing for what I've been forgiven is critical to enter into this deeper life with Jesus Christ. Let us turn our hearts to the Lord. Let us receive who we are. Let us receive what God is holding out for us. And as one body, let us share in the love of Jesus Christ. Amen.